This is the Screaming Pods Network on ScreamingPods.com.
And now, on with the program.
Hey everybody, this is The Pilot Project, and this is the show where we travel to Universal Studios Florida on an extremely small shoestring budget to dive into Universal's vaults for the worst, the weird, and the failed TV pilots. And today we have, I would say, a doozy, to say
that's
lightly.
One way to phrase it, yeah.
That is one way to phrase it. And yes, just like Jim's mom, I will be abandoning Dustin at Universal Studios Florida. The man that is sitting digitally to my left. He's the shadowy figure masturbating behind a fern and handing out jewelry. He is the Swamp Thing to my Jim. He is Dirty Dirty Dustin.
Thank you for that awesome intro. I appreciate it.
And our guest today, he's our very own Anton Arcane. He's the man with the most wonderful mane of hair you've seen, except it's on his chin. And he also is vaguely European and very evil. He is Stefan from What's on Tap podcast, returning again since last one was High School USA, right?
Yes, it was, and I feel like this is payback for that.
Yes.
Payback because it's worse, or payback because it's worse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not often I see something and think, wow, this makes High School USA look coherent.
Well, hopefully we get a sexy strip tease from you like we got in this episode.
And hopefully
That's coming later.
Yeah, this show definitely has one of my favorite scenes in television of all time, but we'll get to it here shortly. Today we're doing one of our classic shows where we take an original version of a show, and on the next episode we're going to compare it to the reboot. Today we're doing the 1990s Swamp Thing, the live action. There was actually a 1991 cartoon that came,
which I almost watched, which probably would have been better.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, and don't forget about the 79 movie, and then there was a...
Yeah, true.
Also, at the same time, there was a Return of the Swamp Thing or something like that.
Yeah, there were two movies before this. Because there is no origin story of Swamp Thing in the show. It's just, you're just right into it with Dumb Jim and his dumb mom and dumb grandma.
Well, actually, the origin story comes in the second episode.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's just wonderful.
Because I actually had to, I actually watched the second episode because I was like, maybe this will explain, like, something.
Yeah,
it did not. As a matter of fact, it explained even less.
Great.
Well, let's hope that on the DC Universe Swamp Thing reboot, which premieres at the end of May, let's hope they actually include the origin story of Swamp Thing in that. But
can you give a brief synopsis of the origin story from the second episode? I'm just kind of curious.
So Alex Holland is this brilliant scientist who works with the swamps somehow. And he discovers some sort of chemicals, and Arcane. Yeah, so Arcane is out to get his science for whatever it is he's doing.
His swamp science,
and ends up blowing up the lab that Dr. Holland and his wife are in. But instead of killing him, it just causes him, the chemicals to react with the swamp, and he becomes Swamp Thing.
Okay.
That's it. That is an origin story.
Hey, that's as good an origin story as just about any superhero out there. You know, being bitten by a radioactive spider and all that.
Honestly, it's not that different from the Flash origin story.
True. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, that is true.
Except instead of forensic chemicals, it was swamp chemicals.
Yep. Exactly.
Swamp science. Well, this show came out, it premiered on July 17th, 1990 on USA Network, and this is our second USA show. We did Airwolf before. It had a total...
Wasn't Viper also USA Network, or is that just syndication?
No, it was just syndication.
All right, I guess it was just on USA where I lived.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and Airwolf wasn't originally USA. It was USA later on, remember? It got picked up for a third season by USA.
Right. Yeah, originally it was like CBS or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. And this is also the same year as Cop Rock came out, which Stefan was also on. So apparently 1990 is Stefan's specialty when it comes to TV. It had three seasons, 72 episodes. It was created by Joseph Stefano and written by Joseph Stefano, at least his first episode. Now, Stefano was known actually for... He's the one that adapted Robert Bloch's novel Psycho for the movie, for the Hitchcock movie Psycho. And he was also the co-writer of the original Outer Limits. So he had some cred to him. So I don't know where it all fell apart. But it all fell apart in the show.
Probably somewhere around the mid-90s and a lot of cocaine.
Probably so. It was directed by Fritz Kirsch, who was known for one big movie, Children of the Corn, and the other one that I could find was Crayola Kids Adventures, Tales of Gulliver's Travels. So,
oh, classic. I mean, how many times have you seen that?
I know.
Countless.
I think Disney...
Like Star Wars and Crayola Kids, it's right there the same.
I think Disney has also acquired the Crayola Kids universe as well. So,
all right,
maybe we'll have a crossover.
Get that on Disney Plus. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. All right. The official description of the show is pretty similar to what Stefan said. The adventures of a man turned muck monster. Swamp Thing was once a man named Alec Holland, but after being caught on fire, doused with strange chemicals, and dumped into Louisiana swamps by the evil Dr. Anton Arcane, Alec's body is mutated. And in the comics, we should note that didn't they turn him into like an eternal or something like that? He's like the...
Yeah, he became an elemental and one of the foundations of magic in the DC universe.
Right. And that was after the Green Lantern event that happened, right? The White Lantern event or something like that?
Brightest Day or something like that.
Brightest Day. That's what it was. Yeah, he became an elemental.
This version, he just looks like a bad version of Moss Man, basically.
Oh, well, you should go back and look at the original Swamp Thing movie, Swamp Thing.
The Wes Craven directed Swamp Thing movie.
Yeah, he gets a little bit better in Return of the Swamp Thing. He looks a lot more like the TV version, but the original one is just a real gem.
Can't wait.
There wasn't much as far as IMDb and Amazon reviews. I mean, they tended to be one word reviews, like good. But I found this is there's just not much out there about the show, surprisingly. But this one is from T on 7/27/16. So I'm assuming this is Thomas, who's been on our show before.
Of course, yeah.
And this is from Amazon. It says, I guess I would have to see the whole series to see why he is like the way he is. But I can't afford to keep my Prime account open right now. Money is very tight, but it won't be like that forever. Smiley face. Oh, okay.
Hey, you know, we all got to have dreams.
Yeah, exactly. All right, the cast of the show is Dick Durock, who was actually Swamp Thing in the two previous movies, Swamp Thing the movie and Return of Swamp Thing. Mark Lindsay Chapman, who played Dr. Anton Arcane, you know him maybe from Titanic or Max Headroom. Jesse Zegler, you won't know, plays Jim. Carol Myers, you probably won't know, plays Tressa, his dumb mom. And Kevin Quigley, it was listed in the cast as Graham, but I don't know who Graham is. So
they didn't list her as Bone Bitch? I'm kind of surprised.
No.
The most awkward dialogue ever, I think.
Yeah.
It's at least up there.
Unfortunately, I didn't pull that audio. I didn't think about that one. But go back and watch it. You can find this show on YouTube. If you really, really want to dig into the show, you can go find Bone Bitch for yourself. It's only 22 minutes long, this show, which is...
It's on Daily Motion also.
Oh, was it on Daily? Okay. Yeah. I would consider 22 minutes a blessing for this show, because I can't imagine...
It really was.
I can't imagine a full 44 minutes or 45 minutes. Like it would have been back in the day. The show has a cold open, and it's just a guy in the middle of a swamp hanging upside down on a candy cane striped pole.
Is the show something? Honestly, was that a cold open, or is the entire show a cold open?
That's a good point. Yeah,
that's a good point. Why is there a barber pole in the middle of the swamp? First of all, is that a common swamp trope?
I guess so. I'm not really that familiar with bayou life.
You come from the deep south. I thought you were into bayou life.
Yeah, I mean, that was a long time ago. I'm not. I didn't get out in those parts of Arcadian region.
Yeah. Do people hanging around the bayou? Do they just take casual walks through the swamp too, like his mother does later in the episode? Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. I've never pictured the swamp as just like a casual place to not have a fan boat and just kind of go for a stroll.
All right, can I just realize something? They were only there because the mom and her son had just moved down from Philadelphia?
Philadelphia,
yes.
Yeah,
Philadelphia. They had been there for two or three days. Is what he said?
Yeah, something like maybe at most.
Yeah, and he said in a boat just rowing out in the middle of the swamp by himself.
Yeah,
he must have been all of 10 maybe.
Oh yeah.
Well, it was 1990, to be fair. I mean, I was free to roam the dusty plains of Abilene, Texas on my bike at that age.
You also grew up in the dusty plains of Abilene, Texas on your bike. This kid is an implant from the city, from the inner city where I guess we're led to believe, to the random swampiness. He's just like, I'm just, you know, rowing around. Oh, and there's a little person tied upside down to a pole. Everything seems cool. This is just what they do down here.
Let me go row up to him and talk to him and release him from this.
Which is so... Yeah. That is such a... So we have the intro, which is not much of an intro at all. There's some... One of the more uninspiring theme songs of all time. And there's a voiceover by Dick Durock as Swamp Thing saying, "I am Swamp Thing." So it's not that exciting.
I am Swamp Thing.
No, it's not.
The swamp is my world. It is who I am. It is what I am. I was once a man. I know the evil men do. Do not bring your evil here. I warn you. Do not incur the wrath of Swamp Thing.
And then, then we go back to the swamp and Dumb Jim, he paddles up to this guy hanging upside down. Turns out it's a dwarf. And this is where things already take a bizarre turn. If it wasn't bizarre enough, the guy asks, and he's weirdly British. He said it's almost like a fantasy movie or something. He asks friend or foe. And I think, I'm pretty sure that if you have like a 90-pound child just paddling up to you, you can assume that he's not a foe.
Right. They didn't send the 90-pound child out on the boat to kill him.
Yes.
Friend or foe?
A foe would leave you hanging here.
Free my hand first.
Try not to upset the boat. I'm a lousy swimmer.
Roll me to that blind over there. Then go get me some food, will you? I'm ravenous.
There's plenty of food at my grandmother's house. It's not far from here.
Can't risk it. If the monster who did this to me finds out I survived...
And the other thing is, we never find out who the monster is that hung him upside down on that pole, because it couldn't have been Arcane, because they were trying to get him back.
Well, you know, and that scene kind of hits home what Stefan was saying earlier, too. So this kid can't even swim, and he's allowed to go out there and boat out on his own.
Yes, that's true. He can't swim, and he's going to go out there where there are crocodiles and killer pelicans and dwarves hanging upside down, and he goes out there and he can't swim. Yeah, he's an idiot. Jim, I hate Jim so much.
I hate Jim, too.
They wrote him out of the show. I'm not surprised.
Did they?
Yeah, they wrote him out after 13 episodes and replaced him with the mom comes back and with her stepson. There's a really dark ending for Jim too, but we'll talk about it later. She brings in Will, the stepson, who is a juvenile delinquent. So the show becomes more edgy and dark at that point. So it's less of a kid's show. Even though the show aired at 10:30 at night on USA, it was supposed to be a kid's show.
You know, I actually remembered the show as soon as I saw the opening credits. I'm like, wait, I think I used to watch this.
Yeah.
Because it was right around that same time as, like, Monsters and Tales from the Dark Side and...
Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, what's it called? The Outer Friday Limits? The 13th, the series, and Nightmare on Elm Street, the series, and all of these, like, weird horror-themed TV shows were coming on.
Yeah, it was a bunch of... They were usually, like, a lot of more anthology shows based on a movie character where they served as kind of the... intro and outro, the bookends for the show or something like that.
Friday the 13th, the series that didn't even have Jason in it.
It had nothing to do with the movie other than the name.
Right.
Yeah. It was a haunted curio shop or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Which, unfortunately, they didn't tie that into movies at some point. Maybe they will.
Well, they're still making Friday the 13th films, so it's never too late.
Yep. They should at least toss a bone to it where he like rampages through a curio shop or something like that.
There you go.
So... This guy who we later find out, this dwarf, his name is Humphrey. I don't understand his role in this show because we never find out who puts him on the pole. It couldn't have been Swamp Thing because allegedly Swamp Thing's a protector. I will also note that Swamp Thing is terrible at his job because he's there to catch a video camera when stupid Jim drops the video camera in the water. His mom's video camera, grandma's, drops it in the water. He's there right below the boat to catch it in his hand, but he's not there to save the dwarf. And then
I don't think he was there to say. I think he probably knew that he was working for Arcane, and he may have been the reason why he was tied up, just to kind of maybe lure Arcane out to the swamp. Again, who knows? Because they don't ever address any of this in the plot.
No, it's never explained. That's right. What's so bizarre. They say he says a monster tied him up, of which you would assume, okay, maybe it was Arcane. But then Arcane's been trying to get him back for his experiments. So it's not that guy. And it's
because he was going to make him taller.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That's the whole experiment. These other creatures he's got with wings and antenna, he's just going to make this guy taller. Yeah, so this Humphrey comes back over and over again in the show. The whole plot around, I guess it's really the whole plot, main plot revolves around Jim and Humphrey. And Humphrey kind of comes and goes and has one of the best scenes in television. We'll get to later. But Arcane is, he shows up in the show driving a Porsche in Universal Studios backlot.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious. Supposedly in some of the episodes, you can actually see the rides and see some of the attractions of
that does not
Studios.
Surprise me. Because I was like, wait, this is supposed to be in like Louisiana, I think like New Orleans or Baton Rouge or somewhere down in that area.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it looks like New York or anywhere but New Orleans or Louisiana.
Yes, it's supposed to be Home, Louisiana, so a small bayou town.
Yeah. So how is Arcane tied to the grandmother, too? That's not really explained, is it?
No, he just shows up to pick her up. And she also is vaguely British, which is... I can't... So is there vague British supposed to be Cajun? Or is it...
I guess so.
Or is just everybody vaguely British?
It's like people in the 90s won't know the difference. British, Cajun, they think it's the same thing.
And really, in reality, is it that different? I mean, come on.
No, it's
not really.
You can't make out what they're saying either way.
Do you think she smoked like 3 packs a day?
Oh my god.
At least.
Because her voice was the most like,
hello, Dr. Arcane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he shows up at a Porsche to pick her up in front of the grocery store, I guess. And his whole goal is to bone down with Tressa, who's Jim's mom, and this lady's daughter. And we should note that Mama Jim has, as we said, has come from Philadelphia. And Jim apparently is a... the whole reason they moved was because he's a liar, and he doesn't have any friends. So what better answer to the trying to get him friends than to move to a town where it just consists of alligators and bogs, and the grandmother lives in the middle of a bog where you have to travel by boat to get to her house?
Yes.
How else to get the child friends? It just makes no sense.
They can't lie to anybody there, so.
That's true.
That's very true, except to the mom.
Right.
He's already driven off his father. That's obvious.
Yep.
It's all the divorce was his fault.
I mean, we've all met, what was his name, Will? Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious why the father left.
Yeah.
True.
He's a horrible kind of child.
Yes. And then, you know, the other point you make, you said they've only been there 2 or 3 days. Well, they get down there and they've been there, let's say they've been there 2 days. Mama Jim already wants to go back to Philadelphia. She wants to abandon her child to the grandmother and return to Philly after only 2 days.
I think this whole plot was just a way to get rid of her kid that she couldn't stand.
Yes,
I agree. She was like, oh, I can pawn him off on my mom, and she'll think, you know, oh, this is a wonderful bonding experience. And I'm free to go live my life and start a new family back up north.
I can get this delinquent son. Yeah, yes. Bring him back. Yep. Then she brings him back to the swamps.
You can turn him over to the swamps, yeah.
At this point, old Swampy returns the video camera, which... Why? I mean, the camera's ruined. It's the 80s. Nothing could survive the water in the 80s. But returns the giant video camera. And this is where I start to think that Swamp Thing is a pedophile. I think he's grooming Jim. Because he already caught the camera. He brought the camera back. The entire show, he pretty much just stays in the shadows staring at Jim.
Why was that a theme in the shows in the 70s, 80s, and 90s? Because we found that to be the same thing for the Shazam. We had the pedophile van that they were driving around and trying to find kids doing bad things.
Yes.
Like, why was that a theme back then?
I think it was prime pedophile time. Because I think this is the heyday of the pedophile.
Apparently, like, so.
They didn't have the internet to congregate around, so they had to have other ways to be self-identified.
Through bad superhero TV shows.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a subtle messaging that no one's looking for.
Right.
If you went to a Comic-Con and you traded a copy of Swamp Thing or Captain Marvel, you knew that was the signal that you guys were into the same thing.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be doing some Billy Batseying later.
Right.
Once you've been Swamp Thing, you don't go back.
Yeah, so he watches it throughout the show. He really doesn't do much Swamp Thing in the show.
No, he doesn't do anything.
He creeps on not only Jim, but he also creeps on Jim's mom in the show. The episode is named The Emerald Heart. And that's a necklace that Jim's mom lost at some point when she was a child living in the bogs. And I don't know why. Was the Emerald Heart supposed to be a metaphor for something?
I don't know. Apparently, there was some sort of conversation, I guess, with her and her mom on her patio.
Yeah.
And I kind of tuned out about that time because I was just like, this is just utter nonsense.
Yeah.
And then she got the necklace, and then later she's like, oh, and then I got the Emerald Heart back. And I was like, wait, what? This was a plot point? I had to go back and rewind it.
Yeah, exactly. I had to rewind it, too, and watch it twice because I didn't understand what was going on. And so the whole thing is she apparently was her mom thought she was a liar when she was a kid. And when they bought her this giant emerald necklace, she claimed as a child that she lost it in the swamps. And they didn't believe her and called her a stupid liar. And they almost abandoned her, Universal Studios. But she goes back into the swamps for the casual stroll that Dustin mentioned. And Swamp Thing is sitting there holding it in his hand and it's glowing. And she doesn't notice that there's a giant moss man right in front of her. And then,
well, because he camouflages into this environment.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay.
I mean, you saw the tree people that were in there also.
That's true. And then she leaves it in the forest. Like, why couldn't she bring it back and say, look, Mom, I actually lost it in the swamp. But she just leaves it in the swamp. She smiles at it and then turns away. It's an emerald that is worth, I don't know, at least a few hundred dollars. I mean, you could at least...
I thought she took it with her. I didn't realize she left it in the swamp.
No, she left it behind.
Because otherwise, what was the point of that scene?
Exactly. What is the point of this entire show?
Well, yeah, that's the bigger question.
The other one that I didn't understand was Toad Boy. While Jim is in the swamp, he's attacked by...
Maybe that was the creature that tied him up.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what we're supposed to understand was, oh, this was the thing that tied up the dwarf.
Maybe so, but again, never explained. There's just this random child mutant running around in an orange sweatshirt, like a Nickelodeon orange sweatshirt with a mutant head, and he tries to attack Jim, but Swamp Thing, in his second act at grooming Jim for pedophilia, somehow he drives Toad Boy away, even though he's really just staring from behind a potted plant, like behind a fern.
And all of these interactions make Jim want to stay in the swamp, opposed to going back to Philadelphia.
And like,
if you see a Toad Boy running around a swamp, I mean, and you're 10 years old, are you like, man, this is pretty awesome. This weird Toad Boy tried to attack me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He doesn't give a damn about anything.
Nothing phases this kid.
Yes.
It's like, as a kid, as an adult, if I had seen someone tied upside down to a pole in the middle of the swamp and a toad child creature, that would be enough to be like, I got to get the hell out of this place. Yes. You know, and then you also got like a 6 foot tall, like plant man that brings people back from the dead. I mean, I'm like, oh my God. And the kid's just like, cool.
Yeah.
Cool, bro.
Another boy in the swamp.
And we do get an explanation for it because Jim has this wonderful monologue about his little origin story about why he's unaffected by these events.
Toad Boy. You mean he mutated or something?
Strange things here.
I'm used to strange things. I'm from Philadelphia. See, I got this thing where I love to wander around different neighborhoods late at night. I sneak out after my mother goes to bed. You'd be surprised some of the things I see. We've only been down here a week, my mother and I. But she's ready to go home already. She was hoping we'd get along better down here, because she remembers how it was when she was growing up. I wish she'd go home and leave me here. I think what we need is a trial separation.
I forgot about that awesome scene.
Yeah.
Especially the part where he wanders around random neighborhoods by himself at 10
late
years
at
old.
Night.
In Philly.
At this point, he's looking for men to be groomed by. I think he's just seeking them out
at
this point.
I just hang out in dark parks at night after the lights are off.
With my pants down.
Yeah.
We should note that I guess one of Arcane's enforcers shows up when he takes groceries to Humphrey at some point. And while Humphrey is waiting in the swamp, a man in black shows up. He looks like a bloated Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore. Looks like a bloated version of that guy, and he hits him with blackjack a couple of times, killing him. But after this monologue, that wonderful, wonderful monologue that any actor should use when they're auditioning for something, they stumble on Humphrey's body, and Swamp Thing uses the power of swamp science, I guess, or bog water to bring him back to life. And Humphrey has the justifiable reaction of when he's brought back to life, seeing this 6'5" moss man, freaks the fuck out and runs away, which is exactly what I would do. That's the only credible thing that happens in the entire episode.
One of the most logical things that happens in the whole episode, yeah.
Yes.
I would say it's the second most credible thing that happens in the episode.
Okay, what's the first?
Well, we'll get to that in a little bit.
Okay. So at this point, so he runs away. Then the man in black, the fake Shooter McGavin, is staring from behind another potted fern, staring at Swamp Thing and Jim. And then he tries to, like, randomly, again.
So they're having a Brett Ratner moment.
Yeah. Sure, he had a glass of shrimp in his hand. He also is not affected by Swamp Thing, and he tries to attack Swamp Thing, where Swampy then turns around and turns him into a tree, which I thought was the only cool scene in the show. I mean, cool, given the very little budget that they always had in the show.
Yeah, the USA budget, yeah.
But they tried to have, like, a body horror moment, which was cool, where he's becoming the tree, and, the bark expands out of his chest and stuff like that. You know, I thought for a moment, okay, maybe there's something cool about the show, trying to have a little bit of body horror to it, but in the end, it was just his face in a tree, just like these little googly eyes staring out of a tree, which was kind of dumb.
But it was so bad.
But I thought it was an okay moment for this show.
Yeah, it looked very Never-Ending Story to me.
Yes,
the face in the tree.
Yeah. So that's the end of Shooter McGavin. Meanwhile, I should note that we cut back to Universal Studios backlot, where Arcane has shown up. He's trying to bone down with yet another woman in his Porsche. And Humphrey, after freaking the fuck and running away, somehow got across the swamp and got back to town of Home, Louisiana, and is now eating a hot dog on the streets of Home, Louisiana, a.k.a. New York, fake New York. Yeah. And Arcane stumbles on him, and Humphrey sees him, freaks out with a hot dog wiener in his mouth, and starts running around in circles trying to get away. And then he's trapped trying to get away because none of the doors work in Universal Studios backlot, because it's a set, Humphrey. But Arcane traps him somehow, and then we cut back to... this is where Grandma Jim is talking to Mama Jim, and this is the scene about the Emerald Heart where Grandma Jim explains that Mama Jim was a little lying bitch too when she was a kid. And this is the whole Emerald scene bullshit. Emerald Heart scene which we named this episode, which doesn't really have any meaning in the end. I found the Emerald Heart. I guess it was supposed to be a metaphor for something. I don't know what that is.
Swamp Thing and his Emerald Heart, since it's green from living in the swamp.
I guess, but it's clear that
Swamp Thing, trying to put stuff together.
Yeah, I mean, good luck. Swamp Thing wants to bone down with not only Jim, but Mom, so he wants a new version of a Pornhub film. And then we finally get back to where the best scene I've ever seen in television. We go to the Arcane Cave, where Arcane has taken his piece of ass to his Arcane Cave, where we get to see all of his genetic failures that he traps in little side caves. And somehow he, without his stripper lady... knowing he has somehow captured Humphrey, taken him to the Arcane Cave, strapped him down to a gurney, and then he brings the stripper into the Arcane Cave, whereupon he takes her on a tour of his failures, introduces her to Humphrey, and then the best scene ever in television happens where he unstraps Humphrey from the gurney,
First of all, he pimp slaps the shit out of her.
Oh yeah.
and she responds with much like every character in this episode, with zero acknowledgement of the fact that someone just slapped the shit out of her.
Yes, right. And really very little acknowledgement that she is surrounded by a bunch of mutants that could kill her at any moment.
She is really calm considering that she was just taken to this. This dank cave full of creatures, and she's just like, cool. She kept saying, I'm cold, I don't want to be here. I'm like, woman, you are surrounded by genetic freaks, and this guy is conducting, Mangula style, you know, crimes against humanity, and she's just like,
temperature should be at least your concerns. Yeah.
Yeah. my reaction would be, oh my God, I'm about to die, or at least have two tails and an extra head and maybe five breasts.
Right.
Yeah, I figured he brought her down there to turn her into something, but turns out it was just to do something to Humphrey.
And be a piece of ass, basically.
Be a piece of ass, because he unstraps, rather than experimenting on Humphrey, he went to all this effort to bring him to the cave. He unstraps him because he sees Humphrey looking at the stripper. He then makes the stripper, after pimp slap here, makes her start to... He turns on his Bose speaker. It's a very well-appointed cave, I must say. He turns on his Bose speaker system, activates Alexa to turn on some generic stripper music, has her do a dance for the dwarf, and then blows him away. Like, holds a gun to his head and just blows away. I
didn't get the whole thing. Like, she was just, like, she knew this is what she was coming down there to do. Because he was just like, all right, do your thing. Just like, you know, started doing her little dance. And I'm kind of like, I don't understand what's happening here.
One of the least sexy stripper dances of all time.
It's one of my favorite scenes since the Alfred Molina scene in Boogie Nights, where he's randomly shooting, someone's shooting a gun in the background and they're trying to buy drugs from him. And we got we got Sister Christian playing, and it's just wheels off. It's very much like that to me.
I really like it. It is so wonderful in so many ways. I cannot describe it. Like, I'm going to play the audio. We'll play the audio. But I highly recommend that if
anything... The video is needed for it.
You need the video. Like, go look for Swamp Thing, the Emerald Heart on YouTube. Just scroll through the fast-forward thing until you see a scene where there's a stripper and Dr. Arcane in a cave. And just start there and enjoy yourself. And then rewind it and watch it again. Because that's what I did. But here's the audio from that scene. The most wonderful scene in television history.
Sick and tired I am of that Swamp Thing's interference in my affairs. I don't know whether to kill you right now or proceed with the experiment. You do want to be a normal-sized man, don't you, Humphrey?
What the hell? Really? Perfectly happening like this.
I saw that.
Yes, sir!
You looked at my salacious dish.
I didn't mean to hurt this.
How should I punish him for lusting after you?
Just make it quick, will ya? I'm cold as all.
You know what, Humph? I've decided that I'm not going to punish you at all. Well, you've had enough punishment for one day, haven't you? What you need for a change is pleasure.
Really? Well, I'm beginning to get just a little bit sick of all this.
Well, go to it, my man.
Come on. Let's go. He's not in the mood.
I'll put him.
This is, hold the gun to his head and boom.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the scene. Oh, it is so wonderful. Like, I'm so glad we watched the show just so I could have that memory for the rest of my
life. And so, I mean, what's his name? Arcane? Is that the...
Arcane.
He knows all about Swamp Thing and all his interference in his projects, too? Like, just the comment at the beginning. Like, I don't remember... I didn't know that he knew about Swamp Thing. Maybe I missed that.
Well, it's because we started not with an origin story, but we jumped into the middle of the show.
I was going to say, in this episode, I don't see that he had a whole lot of interaction with Swamp Thing. I guess, you know, he knew that this guy was alive, but I don't know. Nothing really connected.
Yes, it's almost like they didn't think this thing through.
This entire episode just felt like a series of cold opens and non sequiturs.
Exactly.
Where, like, the scene before had nothing to do with the scene after.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scene after that would be a new thing that would just start, which had no connection to anything else. And so it was just like a series of things that were just starting, and there's like almost no plot through the entire... When there was like 3 minutes left, I was like, wait, this is almost over? Because there's no story so far. Nothing's happened. I don't understand why anybody's doing anything, except for Jim at the end, who was super excited about being able to stay and kept yelling like to all of his friends, which did not exist because he only talked to two people or three people the entire episode. Just, I can stay. Hey, everybody, I can stay. Hey, everybody, I can stay. Like, who is he talking to? The mom and the grandmother know because they're standing right
there. He's yelling at Toad Boy, I guess.
And then I guess he's Toad Boy and Swamp Thing, his new best friends out in the wilds.
And that's the other thing, is there's almost no Swamp Thing in the show. In reality, when it's a show based around a character called Swamp Thing, there's almost no Swamp Thing. It's mostly just Arcane and Jim's mom.
Good point, yeah.
It's the story of a horrible mother who has come to the swamps of Louisiana to abandon her child to get eaten by alligators. So she can then, under the guise of giving it to grandma, leaving with grandma for the summer, so she can return to Philadelphia and bone down with a series of other probably horrible men. And produce more horrible children. But we, speaking of horrible children, they won't get that till season two, I guess. So,
holy crap. I just read what happened in episode 14 with young Jim.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. It's very dark. It's very dark. All right. Well, speaking of that, I think it's time for fun facts, unless anybody has anything else.
No, I think we've said enough for... I think this has already gotten too much airtime.
Honestly, I'm surprised this has lasted as long as it has.
All right. Well, after this, we'll get to some fun facts.
The Un-Men are back for revenge, and they want Swamp Thing.
Weed Killer's poisoning Swamp Thing's home.
Who can save it?
Swamp Thing! Nobody poisons the Swamp Trap. I live here. It's feeding time for my Venus flytrap.
Ah! It won't stop me.
Is this the end of Swamp Thing?
No! My mighty Bog Rover will put an end to you. Fire!
Swamp Thing, Guardian of the Earth. Swamp Trap playset, Bog Rover, and figures sold separately.
Coming Sunday, April 8th.
She's dead. Wrapped in plastic.
11:30 a.m., February 24th. Entering the town of Twin Peaks.
The Los Angeles Times says Twin Peaks is certainly like nothing else on television.
W.C. Fields would say I'd rather be here than Philadelphia.
The Washington Post calls it unprecedented. This you gotta see.
Bobby, did you kill Laura Palmer?
Sunday, April 8th, from David Lynch, Twin Peaks.
Strange things are growing down on the bayou.
Destroy it before it multiplies.
They're not human.
You're a plant, aren't you?
They're not all bad.
They call me Swamp Thing.
You saved my life.
I think that breeze is good.
And love blossoms with Heather Locklear.
Me? Your boyfriend?
Why not?
I'm a plant.
Return of the Swamp Thing. Tomorrow on Cinemax.
All right, time for some very fun facts. So fun, you've never had so much fun. The only way you could have more fun would be go to the bogs of Louisiana and encounter a swamp-like pedophile with your video camera. Swamp Thing 1990, the IMDb score is 6.6 out of 10.
Way too high.
TV.com gives it a 6.9 out of 10.
Are you kidding me? Are these people on drugs?
Oh, no, it gets worse. Rotten Tomato gives it a score of 75%.
How?
Amazon gives it 3.5 out of 5 stars. And Google has an overall rating of 92%.
I don't understand.
That is ridiculous.
Tells you a lot about the people we are surrounded by. As we noted, this was Dick Durock's third time playing Swamp Thing, because he played him in both the Swamp Thing movie and The Return of Swamp Thing with Heather Locklear, which was considerably more campy. I haven't seen the original Swamp Thing, but I watched some of the scenes from Return of the Swamp Thing on the YouTubes. It's considerably more campy than this one is.
Which may not be a bad thing. It's
a much more serious take. I agree.
I've seen the original Swamp Thing, and I mean, it's early Wes Craven. It's watchable, I would say, compared to this, which is just a nightmare. Return of Swamp Thing was meant to be extremely campy and kind of over the top.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of like a trauma film in some ways.
It was kind of in a trauma style.
I mean, this was the same era as when Toxic Avenger kind of made his comeback in the cartoon.
Yeah.
Kind of Toxic
Crusaders or whatever it was. Yeah.
Toxic Crusader, yeah. Whatever it was called. So we should note in the movies, Arcane is in the movies as well, but he's much older. So even though Durock played Swamp Thing in both of these, it's never really made clear if this is supposed to be the same universe or if this is an alternate universe of Swamp Thing. And really, who cares? So in the costuming, we should know Dick Durock is 6'5" himself, and the costume he wore weighed over 80 pounds. But what they changed was from the movies. When the movies, it took 2 to 4 hours to put on everything. For the show, it took around 45 minutes. And what happened in the movies was, filming in the actual swamps, he would sweat so much, all the prosthetics started to fall off all the time. So they'd have to constantly reapply the prosthetics. So apparently they decided to use makeup at least for the facial stuff, so it wouldn't be as noticeable when, you know, prosthetics are in the wrong place. And the show, they basically, he almost took no breaks for the first 50 episodes. Durock would work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and supposedly, I have to question this, supposedly he had to learn around 10 pages of dialogue per day. But if this first episode is an indication...
Wait, he said like 2 words in a whole episode.
I know.
I about to say, it felt like if like most of his shots they could just reuse because they were just kind of him in the background somewhere or kind of lurking in a corner or a close-up of, and you know, he's got vines around his face.
Yeah.
I don't know why they had to keep making him... I feel like they could have done like one day with his makeup on and gotten all the shots per episode and maybe... per season.
Yeah. Just you reuse a bunch of stock footage. Yeah. They shot 2 episodes a week. They would go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for one episode, and then Thursday through Saturday on another, and then they would have Sunday off and then get back to set on Monday. The show was actually shot for the swamp scenes, was actually shot in a swamp, in a real, but it was in the Florida Everglades, and they would actually transport the entire crew, actors, and everything out of the Everglades to do this. They decided that was too costly, both in time and money, so they ended up building a swamp on the back lot of Universal Studios. All the other scenes, as we mentioned, like every other thing that's not a swamp was shot at Universal Studios, right. Florida. And apparently, so, like I said, in some of the episodes you can see some of the actual attractions from Universal Studio in the background, and real people at the park. So that was quality. Apparently Universal wanted to prove... that their new investment, these Universal Studios, how cheaply and quickly they could produce episodes of shows out at Universal Studios Florida. So I think it worked. You could prove how
definitely
cheaply
cheap, yeah.
You could produce it.
They nailed it on that one.
Yes, they did. Apparently, they created the swamps. Also, created the real swamps created a lot of lighting problems, and Durock said the one they built at the film studio actually looked 10 times better than a real swamp. But so
yeah. Anyways.
The creator of the show, Joseph Stefano, left after the first 13 episodes, and they had to halt production so the show could be retooled. Apparently, USA thought it was a pretty highly rated show, and they thought it could go even higher. So they went ahead and gave an episode order of 50 more episodes.
My God.
And they got rid of Stefano. They brought in another guy. They made it darker, and they dropped the they got rid of Jim, which we'll get to in a second. Pretty much, Tressa, his mom, was... She kind of came and went throughout the show, although, like I said, she comes back with Will, but she's not a regular cast member. And then they started bringing in guest stars like Tyne Daly, Wolfman Jack, Debbie Boone, Philip Michael Thomas, Summer Phoenix, Adam Curry, the Podfather, and wrestler Kevin Nash.
Heather Locklear was in for as well, because she was in the original series.
Oh, so they brought her into the TV series?
Yeah, just for one episode. They just did a stunt casting kind of thing.
So maybe it was the same continuity as the movies.
Well, I mean, no, because Abigail Arcade was played by Carrie Wurr.
So apparently this show, to make it darker, when they brought in Will, made the show the highest rated original series on USA. And like we said, season 2, they brought in Carrie Wurr to be synthetic teen Abigail, who was created by Dr. Woodrue, who I have to assume is some sort of rival to Dr. Anton Arcane.
Synthetic teen. You don't hear that... That very much.
A synthetic troubled teen. So, yeah, Jim is written out of the show after 13 episodes because USA went darker. So, he's a really dark ending. In the show, Dr. Arcane basically hires a South American child slaver ring to kidnap Jim, and Jim is never seen again.
Yeah, like, holy crap. I mean, I didn't want anything bad to happen to him, but oh my God, that's
pretty awesome. Bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, you know, Tressa comes back with Will. And she's in the show, so I don't know, and I don't care to find out. Like, what
does she have any reaction to her son being captured by a slave ring?
Nope. She's like, cool.
Cool.
Back to get rid of him anyway.
Back to the swamps.
He was destined for that, you know, hanging out on the streets of Philly every night.
Well, and the funny thing is, they do mention him apparently in season 3 at some point. Jim, that is. They mention that Tressa eventually finds Jim, and she abandons him again and sends him to live with his father far away. Comes back to the swamp. She's a horrible mother.
She's horrible.
So in 1990, they had the show. In the 1981, they decided, hey, we need a cartoon series as well. So Dick Animation produced the Swamp Thing animated series that lasted all of 5 episodes. It was a more Ninja Turtles. There was also the Toxic Crusader animated series at the same time. It was kind of in that vein. It was definitely a more goofy take on the character, although Arcane is still the main villain. And instead of the mutagen in Ninja Turtles, he's got something, I forget what it's called, it's like Geo something or another, and he uses this for his experiments, and he can actually turn himself into a giant spider monster, whatever he wants to. Like any good show of the time, like the Rambo show, Swampy has friends too. He's got his friends Tomahawk, a.k.a. Thomas Hawk, a soldier who fought in the American Revolution and was rescued by Native Americans, but no explanation why he's still alive today. And he also had his friend Bayou Jack, a Vietnam veteran. Apparently the toys were way more popular than the show, which is true, because I remember having some of these Swamp Thing toys. Kenner invested over $6 million in
I'm really kind of surprised it failed, because that was kind of the era like He-Man, that you know, you made a show because of the toys. I don't know.
Yeah, yep. I guess it didn't do as well as they thought it would. Only 5 episodes. All right, so Dick Durock. Let's talk about what happened to the actors after this. Dick Durock, he was an actor and a stuntman, and he appeared in over 80 films and over 700 TV episodes. He did movies like Stand By Me, which he actually was an actor in. He was in Clint Eastwood's Any Which Way You Can, and he was in shows like Rockford Files and Dynasty. His real claim to fame, though, was the Swamp Thing movies and the show. After, he didn't really do much. He was uncredited in Die Hard with a Vengeance as Man at Subway Station. He had another uncredited role in a Rockford Files TV movie in 1997, and his final role was Mac the Henchman in the movie The Hunted, which stars a bunch of people that you've never heard of. Probably a direct-to-video feature at the time. Fun fact, he was 6'5", and he could do a standing backflip. And
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Fun fact, he died of pancreatic cancer at 72 in California in 2009.
Wow.
So fun.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Lindsay Chapman, he's got a fun history. He got his start at the Guildford School of Acting in London, where he studied ballet, speech, drama, and fencing. And then from there, he kind of went on to do the whole 80s and 90s TV circuit. He did Max Headroom, Falcon Crest, Baywatch, Charmed. He's still working today, still working in TV, including in the 90s, he did the hopefully future pilot project show Nightman. So we'll hopefully take that on, about a guy who some sort of superhero works at night.
Oh, okay. I guess. So I never heard of it. Yeah. And that's a very generic name.
It is. Nightman. Yeah.
Really? You guys didn't hear of Nightman, huh?
that famous Marvel character, Nightman. I would also like to do with Bible Man, the guy that was in played Willie in Charles in Charge, Scott Baio's best friend in that show, went on to do. He became Uber Christian and he did Willie Ames, that's his name. And he did Bible Man or something like that. Just a series of Christian, I think, direct-to-video morality plays.
Was he the guy who was always trying to get ass in Charles in Charge?
Okay. Yes. Yes, he was.
Yeah. But you know, Nightman actually was a comic book character.
Was he really?
Yeah, from Malibu Comics.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I remember Malibu.
Yeah. They got bought out by, I want to say, DC.
Yeah, that sounds right. Well, Mark Lindsay Chapman, fun fact, he was originally considered to play Data in Star Trek Next Generation, which would have been terrible. Fun fact, he was fired and rehired twice from Dustin's favorite movie, Titanic. He was one of the deck officers, and he's the one when Rose grabs the whistle from his neck when the ship's going down. That's Dr. Anton Arcane there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Dustin is pulling that up right now.
Of course.
And fun fact, if you think his name sounds like a serial killer, you're not the only one. In 1985, he was actually cast as John Lennon in the 1985 film John and Yoko, A Love Story. John Lennon was actually killed by Mark David Chapman. And when Yoko found out, actually, he was cast, and she approved his casting initially, but when she found out his full name, she had him removed from the cast because of bad karma. And because of that, he got so much bad press because of that, he had to actually go work as a bricklayer with his father in London for a while. Although eventually he would go back to acting, and he actually played John Lennon in the 2007 movie, Chapter 27, which focused on Mark David Chapman. So
I saw that. That was a pretty good movie.
Was it? Yeah, I've seen it. It's one of those, you know, it's looks interesting, but never have
such a ridiculous reason to remove him from that, but okay.
I know. Fun fact, Lindsay was arrested in March 2018 for assaulting his girlfriend after she ended their five-year relationship, and he balked at him deleting her nudes from his phone. He reportedly threw it on the ground and started choking her with both hands and said, "Bitch, fuck you, I want you dead."
Hmm.
She bit his hand, and he let go, and she was able to get away. She now has
a
restraining
order. That's a super fun tag.
That is a super fun tag. Jim Ziegler, no surprise, didn't do much after, but he did actually play Boy in Superboy, the 1992 TV series. He played Kid in Line in the movie Matinee with John Goodman, and he played Jealous Kid on King of the Hill in some ways. His last role was in 1995 as Jeremy in something called Captiva Island. And according to his last known whereabouts, in 2005, he was getting his master's in English literature and teaching at the University of Florida.
Captiva Island sounds like...
I think he's made a wise choice there.
Captiva Island sounds like something that would have been on, like, Cinemax late at night on a Friday night back in 1998.
Maybe it was the Red Shoe Diaries special episode.
Yeah.
Featuring Jim from Swamp Thing. Kara Myers, who played Tressa, she didn't do anything after Swamp Thing. It was her last role. Although, prior to that, she had done sporadic 80s TV like Heart to Heart, MacGyver, and The Love Boat. But that was her last role. So, no funeral for her. As always, when we don't have much to go on about the history of the show, we like to talk about what happened that year in TV. So, in 1990, some TV fun facts. All My Children had its 20th anniversary. The Simpsons aired its first regular episode. MTV Unplugged debuted with the band Squeeze, who were a second wave British invasion band, which I don't remember at all.
Like, I've never heard of Squeeze.
Jim Henson made his final public appearance when he appeared on the Arsenio Hall show. He actually would die 2 weeks later of organ dysfunction caused by bacterial pneumonia.
He was a Christian Scientist. He could have been saved, but he was no.
Yeah. He actually refused to
take care
to the hospital.
Of himself. Yeah. He died the same day as the black guy in the Rat Pack. Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay. That's another fun fact.
His
death was overshadowed by Sammy Davis Jr.
And to tie that back into a previous episode of this show, Sammy Davis Jr. actually did a cover on his album of the My Mother the Car theme song.
That is true.
So there you go. It's all full circle. This year was also actually the famous series finale of the show Newhart, where Bob wakes up and it's revealed that the entire series of Newhart was a dream of Bob from the Bob Newhart show from the 70s.
Which is pretty awesome.
That was the best.
The Disney Afternoon debuts with Gummy Bears, DuckTales, Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers,
which
and
was
Tailspin,
also awesome.
Although some of those shows had already been going at that time, like Gummy Bears and Chip and Dale actually started in like 87, 88. So they've been going for some time, but this was kind of the culmination to build that giant empire. Which we now have the multiverse. Thanks to Disney, they own everything under the sun. Chris Farley, Tim Meadows, Chris Rock, Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider, and Julia Sweeney all joined the cast of SNL and gave it one of its best runs of all time. And a multi-network special to warn kids about the evils of drugs called Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue was all aired at the same time on ABC, BET, CBS, Fox, NBC, USA, and Nickelodeon. And it features characters from Alf, Alvin and the Chipmunks, DuckTales, Garfield, Looney Tunes, Muppet Babies, Winnie the Pooh, The Real Ghostbusters, Smurfs, and Ninja Turtles. And apparently the story was about this kid named Michael, who's a troubled teen, who is using marijuana and stealing his father's beer. His younger sister is worried about him, and when her piggy bank goes missing, her cartoon-based toys come to life to help her find it. When the sister finds it in Michael's room, the characters take him on an acid fantasy trip to teach him about the evils of drugs.
That sounds amazing.
Just dope them up with every drug possible. It's kind of like when you make somebody smoke a whole carton of cigarettes if you bust them with one.
Yeah.
I want to do an acid fantasy trip and have them watch that show.
It'd be amazing. All right. And shows premiering in 1990. Twin Peaks, In Living Color, Wings, Northern Exposure, Parker Lewis Can't Lose, Bobby's World, The Adventures of Super Mario Bros. 3, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And we should note that this was actually, when we're recording this, this is the 25th anniversary of that extremely emotional scene of The Fresh Prince when he's talking about his dad to Uncle Phil.
Oh, yeah.
That's like one of those scenes in TV that gets me choked up every time I watch it.
I'm sorry, Will.
You know what? Actually, this works out better for me. You know, as slim as the summer come to class wearing next to nothing. You know what I'm
saying? Will, it's all right to be angry.
Hey, well, why should I be mad? I'm saying at least he said goodbye this time. I just wish I hadn't wasted my money buying this stupid present.
I'm sorry. If there was something that I...
Hey, you know what? You ain't got to do nothing, Uncle Phil. Hey, ain't like I'm still 5 years old, Ain't like I'm going to be sitting up every night asking my mom, when's daddy coming home, Who needs him? Hey, he wasn't there to teach me how to shoot my first basket, but I learned, didn't I? Hey, I got pretty damn good at it too, didn't I,
yeah,
Uncle Phil?
You did.
Got through my first day without him, right? Mm. I learned how to drive. I learned how to shave. I learned how to fight without him. I had 14 great birthdays without him. He never even sent me a damn card. To hell with him! I ain't need him then, and I don't need him now.
Will.
Now, you know what, Uncle Phil? I'm going to get through college without him. I'm going to get a great job without him. I'm going to marry me a beautiful honey, and I'm having me a whole bunch of kids. I'm going to be a better father than he ever was. And I sure as hell don't need him for that, because ain't a damn thing he could ever teach me about how to love my kids. How come he don't want me, man?
Will Smith, who also had to leave Philadelphia, much like Jim.
That's very true.
I think what we're understanding is Philadelphia is a really rough place and no one's safe.
Exactly.
That's right. There were some guys who were up to no good, shooting some b-ball in his neighborhood. All right, Captain Planet also debuted, and this was kind of like, coinciding with Toxic Crusaders and this show. Captain Planet debuted, and this was kind of the debut of really Earth Day, really like took... I remember there were school programs, like Earth Day became a really big thing in 1990. It seems like it's kind of dwindled since then, but I remember it being such a big thing, like very earth positive at the time. I think a lot of that was thanks to Ted Turner on TNT, I think that's where Captain Planet aired.
We'll say, now that we don't have Captain Planet, I think we see what's happened to Earth Day as well.
Yeah, that's true. The loss of Captain Planet has dubbed us all. Tiny Toons debuted The Flash 1990 with what's his name who's on now on the new Flash.
Beverly Hills Ship.
Yes. Beverly Hills 90210 and our future pilot our former pilot project show Cop Rock, which Stefan was also on.
I hope you do a future pilot project episode of Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
I would like to. It's on the list. I remember
what you should
show.
Do. You should do that and along with Ferris Bueller's Day Off because I think they came out in the exact same year.
Yeah, it makes sense. I remember loving Parker Lewis at the time.
I thought it was really good. I thought between Parker Lewis Can't Lose and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which I think had Jennifer Aniston in the Jennifer Grey part.
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Did that even go past one season though? Parker Lewis Can't Lose. I feel like that.
Parker Lewis Can't Lose went on for many seasons.
Okay.
I think Ferris Bueller's Day Off was canceled after like a few episodes.
Okay.
Because one of them succeeded and one of them did not.
Although Parker Lewis didn't go so long. I think it went like three seasons, maybe.
I think that's three more than anyone expected it to do.
Yeah, for sure. shows ending in 1990. Miami Vice, Mama's Family, the first
Mama's incarnation. Mama's Family was going on until 1990? I feel like that show was so nice.
That show went on in syndication forever.
I hated that show so much. That show was a power down, like when they would have MASH followed by Mama's Family. Like, instant power down in my life. Like, I hated Mama's Family so much.
It was the worst show, and that would just never end.
I know.
On forever.
Although I liked Vicky, what's her name? I always thought
Vicky Lawrence must have made a ton of money off of that show.
Oh, yeah.
Her and the guy that played her her brother or whatever.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. Because I never watched it. Tried not to. The promos were enough to get me to punch out. The first incarnation of Baywatch was canceled in 1990, which we just did Baywatch Nights recently, although it would go on to be a mega hit in syndication. Actually, the first incarnation of Seinfeld was canceled in 1990. They had five episodes, and after that, Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David both thought that Jerry didn't have any more stories to tell. But then NBC turned around and said they wanted the show back in 1991. They brought it back and renamed it Seinfeld from Seinfeld Chronicles. And yes, they had a lot more stories to tell.
Just a few more.
Just a few. Just the 10 of Us ended that year. You Can't Do That on Television. Mr. Belvedere, Beauty and the Beast, Charles in Charge, Pee Wee's Playhouse, Chip and Dale, DuckTales, The Adventures of Super Mario Brothers 3, they all ended in 1990. Newhart, as we mentioned, Cop Rock, and the future pilot project show Hull High, which was a musical based, much like Cop Rock, it was a musical show based in
high school. So we have to get Stefan again, because since we did High School USA and Cop Rock, I mean, Gotta have you.
Yeah,
it's really... it feels like it's the natural merging of the two ideas.
That's right. All right, well, any final thoughts on Swamp Thing 1990?
Then that was just a beating to watch. It literally made no sense. And it was just a bunch of just random shit happening just at weird times. And I really, really hated it, every moment of it.
Yeah. It was almost like a giant SNL sketch.
Well, we've seen bad shows on here, obviously. But Usually they have some kind of continuity between what's going on. Like something from beginning to end that makes sense. Like Stefan said a couple times, this is just like a smattering of a bunch of crap they shot and just kind of threw it together in a 22-minute piece. And that makes it even worse.
We got a lot of footage. What are we going to do with it? We're just going to make something. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. We'll get there eventually. I'm thankful for one thing in the show, and that is the scene with the stripper and the dwarf and the dwarf getting killed. I thought it was one of the most amazing scenes I've ever seen put to film. And I applaud the show for having the courage to put something out there in TV land, and it will live on in infamy as a result because of this show and because of that show. It is just a real gem. It is really the Emerald Heart of TV, and I applaud them for having the courage to do that. Other than that, it is a flaming, bog-stinky piece of crap, and it made absolutely no sense. It is still more entertaining than a lot of things we've seen on the show, but it makes less sense than many of the things we've seen. I think it makes even less sense than Cop Rock. Or My Brother's Car. But I applaud it just for that one scene. So we should say, in the next episode, we're going to talk about, Stefan will be back, and we're going to talk about the DC Universe remake of Swamp Thing that's coming out at the end of the month. But prior to that, do you think you would have wanted to see Swamp Thing remade?
I mean, this is a really weird property for them to just keep trying to make happen. Mm-hmm. I don't get why DC has just gone back to this well now for the fourth or fifth time. I would say no. I did not feel the need to see this brought back to the small screen again.
Yeah, and I mean, just speaking of weird properties, up until this recent version of it, I always thought Aquaman was kind of spare, and Swamp Thing is like a really, really, really more spare version of Aquaman because he's even more limited to just a swamp. I don't really, I'm kind of with Stefan, I don't get why they keep trying to revive this thing. DC Universe, I guess maybe they're just being more experimental over there, and I don't know, they have this whole network, quote-unquote, to fill time with, but... based on this and based on the origin story of it, I don't even know why they're doing it again. And no, I would not have wanted to see it remade and not even made the first time, really.
Now, have either of you seen Titans or Doom Patrol?
Nope. Not yet.
Not yet.
Well, Titans is extremely dark. I was expecting something more along the lines of like the cartoon series that they've been doing. Oh no, it is very adult. And same thing with Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol is also extremely adult. I mean, these are not, for kids TV series. So I am very curious to see what they're going to do with Swamp Thing.
I guess I hope that's a good thing. Yeah, I haven't seen either of them. And I guess I kind of applaud DC for trying something different. I don't know that I would have wanted to see Swamp Thing remade. But, you know, now they've got their own little sandbox to play in. They don't have to rely on network ratings per se. So I applaud them for trying something different, but I don't know if this is the property that I would wanted them to, play around with.
That's the point to me, yeah.
Titans, I get. Doom Patrol, less so, and this one, the least. I don't know what are the weird things they'll be dipping into. I'm interested to see what DC Universe does, but I've heard nothing but good things about the other two. So I'm kind of looking forward to this to see if it's maybe going to be super dark, like I think it probably should be. It should be more of like a horror show, I think, in some respects. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully they have a scene with a dwarf and a stripper and gunshot.
Well, I hope this is kind of like an entry into some of the more like Vertigo style characters. So I'm hoping what we'll do is we'll actually see them try to backdoor in some additional Vertigo characters, like maybe Animal Man or
Sandman maybe.
I think they're going to save Sandman for the big screen.
Oh, really?
Or because they've been talking about wanting to develop that as a different property. So I don't think Sandman will make it in there. But you could see like Cain and Abel. You could see House of Mystery or some of the other things that are kind of in that realm as well.
Yeah, Animal Man, if they did the New 52 take where it was a lot more weird and out there and kind of in the spiritual world and then very macabre and bloody. Like, that could be a really interesting take on the character. All right. Well, we'll catch you guys next time for a very special, literally a very special episode of The Pilot Project, and that is Swamp Thing 2019.
The Pilot Project is produced by Mark Hudson and Dustin Taylor. We have new episodes every Friday. Email us at pilotprojectpod@gmail.com or find us on social channels as @pilotprojectpod. Links to subscribe to this show for free and links to the TV shows we watch can be found in this episode's show notes or on our website at pilotprojectpod.com.
Thank you for tuning into The Pilot Project.
I'm loving this show.
We hope you enjoyed the show. See you next episode.